fucking send it in.
And welcome everybody to episode 4 of the Puck It, Send It In podcast. I am Jake Gibson alongside my friend and co-host Alex Krutchik. And Alex, the good times keep rolling for the show. It was only last week that we finally got our first episode where we got to talk about a Panthers win. And we get to do that again today as Florida is proving that if they had the option of wanting to take on Ottawa every game in a season, they would take that opportunity, because once again they laid the hurting on the Senators by a final score of 2-0. And maybe that seems relatively close, but it did not feel that way.
Yeah, I forget what the exact record is, but Ottawa fans were chanting last year, Brady's better, over and over again. And the Panthers have beat the Senators every single time since then. And they got to do it without getting all muddy last night and going to the penalty box a whole lot. It was a nice, boring win, which I think people are totally fine with based on the last 3 weeks that they've had. It was nice to have Ottawa come in and tee off against them.
And yeah, you mentioned boring. Let's not beat around the bush here. Head coach Paul Maurice acknowledged in the post-game presser. He literally asked all of us. I was there. He asked all the media that was there. We can all acknowledge that the second, third periods of that game were pretty boring, right? I mean, he said his words, you know? But it's fine, because it never felt like Florida was in a situation where they were going to give up that lead. Pretty much it felt like at the end, in the waning minutes of the first period, that game was settled, that Florida was the better team. They were going to be the more physical team, they had the eye of the tiger against Ottawa, who I believe is eliminated from the playoffs. If not, they're like going to be real soon. But it's one of those stress-free kind of hockey games that you barely get to see, especially towards the latter end of the regular season when things are about to get kicked up to 11. That seeing a game like this where there's no need to stress over anything, Florida's pretty much, they have this in the bag. That was the feeling last night, and it's refreshing to see.
Yeah. What I really liked about last night, and Paul Maurice said this after the game too, he would rather have a game like that where it's 2-0 as opposed to 7-6. The 7-6 game might be more exciting, but the 2-0 game is really what he likes.
Yeah.
And I think that it's because of the fact that it's a more defensive game that not only do the Panthers like to play, but also just any team in the playoffs wants to play that kind of game.
Right.
The Panthers allowed zero high danger scoring chances against the Senators in the second period last night. And then they allowed 4 in the third period. They also allowed 4 in the first period. So they allowed 8 total. 8 total high danger scoring chances against Ottawa. And we'll talk about Anthony Stolarz and how great he's been for them this year. Mm-hmm. But the defense kept him so clean last night. And I think that's what was most impressive and what made me breathe the biggest sigh of relief, was not only that they won, but they won their kind of game. They won the kind of game that wins you games in the playoffs. Like, it wasn't a metaphorical shootout. Like, the defense really locked them down. That's what you want to see going into the final week of the season.
Absolutely. That defense for Florida last night looked and performed like they could take on any offense in the NHL and give them a run for their money. And we'll talk a bit more about him later, but Stolarz played another phenomenal game. And he was absolutely assisted by some high-quality defensive performances by Florida's lines. Even without players like Ekblad in there, they still found a way to pretty much negate anything Ottawa threw their way. And again, maybe a part of this is because they're familiar with Ottawa's schemes and how they go into these games, because they've had this much success against them this whole season, right? The one game where Ottawa found a slimmer of hope in beating Florida was when they took him to overtime. But of course, Anton Lundell had that amazing shot to stop that. Aside from that, it's just thorough beatdown after thorough beatdown. And again, while the scoreboard might not tell you it was a thorough beatdown last night, it absolutely was. It absolutely was, from a mental standpoint, from a physical standpoint, and calm hockey is so fun to watch. But something I really wanted to get into was about that game last night was, first of all, very physical at the start. There were four fighting penalties handed out in the first few minutes of the game. I feel like a good portion of that was Ottawa just being frustrated by how their season has gone and how they've performed against this team, which, I mean, I hardly blame them. It was not a great look, but it made for an entertaining start to the game. It kind of reminded me of that game against Arizona like a month and a half ago, when it just opened up with a pair of fights, which was also awesome. But I don't know. After those fights in the first couple of minutes in the game, it felt like that was all Ottawa had left in the tank, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and it might be kind of like what you said a little bit before, where they're either eliminated or they're just on the precipice of getting eliminated very shortly. But, yeah, I think they just came into the game kind of dead. I think they had a little bit of a fight in the beginning, but after that, I think it was just dead.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't think we can spend a whole lot of time talking about this game, because in the second and third periods, like I tried, you know, live tweeting the game on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, and I just couldn't. Like, there were a couple of penalties on both teams, and both teams had opportunities but couldn't do anything. But I don't know what to tell you. It was just the first period was fun. It was exciting. It, of course, had one of the crazier goals I've seen this season for the Panthers, and they've had a lot of insane goals. The first goal of the game, Florida was on a power play. Ottawa had cleared it. They sent a shot to the other side of the ice, right? And they pretty much sent the whole team to the bench for a shift change. While that was happening, Stolarz, who quickly ran up to the puck and absolutely shot a laser to Anton Lundell, who was wide open. There was not a soul around him, not a single Senator around him. It basically turned into a shootout at that point. And of course, Lundell, he's going to sink that almost every time. That was such a funny goal, and it started, and it's all pretty much because of a massive blunder by Ottawa, getting rid of all their players, thinking that they had more than enough time to do that. And if that's just not a great signal on how this season has gone for the Sens, I don't know what else there is.
Yeah, that's the kind of mistakes that you used to see the Panthers make like years ago. Like just bad fundamentals. It was just bad fundamentals of hockey. I will say the Stolarz pass was very nice. I want to say that he did something similar earlier in the year where I don't even know if he got the assist on this, but I think he had like a couple of pretty nifty passes earlier in the year. He's just really talented. We'll talk about him more later, but Anthony Stolarz has been such a probably the best unexpected story of the Panther season. I mean, Sam Reinhart, obviously, of course, like Sam Reinhart's putting up all those goals, and maybe you didn't expect him to score that many goals, but you still knew that he had something in him like that. Anthony Stolarz, like, this guy's incredible.
Yeah, you know,
with Reinhart, the offensive machine.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, it's the final year of a contract for Reinhart. You know he's going to bust his ass trying to play his best hockey, and he absolutely has. But, yeah, we'll touch up a bit more on Stolarz in a sec. But, by the way, there was a crazy tweet, and I'll try to find it later. But in this four-game series against Ottawa, Stolarz has earned more points because he was credited with an assist on that goal from Lundell than everyone on Ottawa except for one player. I'm sure you've seen the tweet that I'm talking about. He's earned more points than all but one player for the Sens in this four-game series against them this season. I can't remember the exact player. He got like 2 points. But my God, I mean, that is just utter domination against this team. And then after that, the Cousins also had a really great, I believe, a wrister that pretty much sealed the deal. But I'm telling you, it reminded me of like Tua throwing the ball deep to Tyreek, and he's just wide open. There's just
no camera panning over to the left. You don't know who's down there. It's like, oh my God, who did he just shoot it to? And then the camera pans to the left, and you're like, oh my God, it's Anton Lindell.
He's got Hill. That's what it felt like. That was just absurd. I kind of remember Florida themselves, ironically enough, doing something similar to that, making that mistake against the Hurricanes, I believe in game two of the Eastern Conference final. I believe it was the first goal for the Canes, where they're pretty much all their team went for a shift change, and Carolina, the Cane player, just waltzed right to Bob and got a goal. But obviously that didn't matter because Florida ended up sweeping them in that series anyway. So, I mean, stat-wise, this game's not going to blow you away from either side, but it's just a great win. It's a calming win. And considering the opponents that are coming up for Florida, you have Columbus tomorrow, which is okay. But you have another game against a Toronto team that has given you plenty of headaches this season. Buffalo as well is also a pretty solid team that Florida might, you know, they might have their hands full with. But this is a great start to the homestand, especially considering the unfortunately relatively not great road trip that Florida is coming off of. The only win, of course, being that 6-0 win against Ottawa, which we talked about last time. So the ability for Florida to dig their heels back in Sunrise, get some R&R, and then get ready to go against some solid teams, but not mind-blowing teams. And then you're going to, again, host games 1 and 2 of the Stanley Cup playoffs, assuming there's no disaster going on here in the regular season. It's a great feeling that essentially what I'm trying to get at is Florida does not need to travel. They get some rest. They get some resting time before they, before these games really start to matter, you know?
Yeah. That second goal was a nice little play by Sam Bennett along the boards, jockeying with two Senators over there, and then got the puck to the middle of the slot for Nick Cousins to tap it in. It's funny. I thought to myself, Nick Cousins has been scoring a little bit over the last few games. Like, he's getting on the score sheet more. Mm-hmm. I saw it's 2 goals in the last 3 games. Both of those goals came against the Ottawa Senators. So maybe he just likes playing the Senators.
Well, there you go. I feel like the Florida Panthers in general just like playing against the Senators. That's just how it is. So, and it's also relieving to see this blowout of a game. Again, it's not a blowout per se, but to see this team do so well, like pretty much have a complete game offensively and defensively, and your star players such as Tkachuk and Barkov didn't even have to do all that much in a game like this.
Yep.
The lines that they threw out were more than enough, you know?
Yeah. And it's kind of like what you said, it wasn't a blowout, but the Panthers played such a style that 2-0 seemed insurmountable, which, like I said at the top of the show, that's the exact kind of play that you want in the playoffs. Like, I remember there were times during their President's Trophy run where they would be up like 4-0, but you knew because of the defense, like, no, you got to keep scoring over and over again. And they were beating teams back then by simply just scoring a lot. Now it's like they're going to score a little bit on you, but more importantly, they're just going to shut you down. 2-0, mm-hmm. Like, it felt like a blowout because of how good they are just shutting you down and constricting you on offense.
Something also, I think the last thing I'll note about this win over Ottawa was that once again, the Panthers sort of kept their composure, not giving up too many penalties. It says they gave up 5 penalties, though granted 2 of those were from fighting. So make of that what you will. But if you take those away, you only have 3 penalties that the Panthers give up. And of course, their penalty kill pretty much shut down whatever Ottawa threw their way. Maybe a part of that is just because Ottawa's power play is not good. But Florida's penalty kill looked absolutely perfect last night. And again, it's a great sign. It's a wonderful sign.
Yeah, that was something that Paul Maurice said after one of their games during the road trip, was that they need to cut down on the penalties. It was nice to see that they were able to do that against Ottawa, of all teams, because it seems like every time they play Ottawa, no matter how easy of a win it is, guys are always getting sent to the box. Remember that game earlier in the year where it was like 150 penalty minutes? It was good to see that, but more importantly, and you touched on this as well, even when they do give up a lot of penalties, their penalty kill has been superb this year, and that was the one thing that like didn't really get away from them during the losing streak that they were on. The penalty kill has been consistent, which is why even when they do commit a lot of penalties, I actually don't mind that much. I mean, I don't mind from a defensive standpoint. It still hurts them because now that's 2 minutes in which you're probably not going to score.
Right.
But in terms of the defense, like, I don't really get scared that the other team's going to score.
So, what else was I going to say? Oh, yeah. The last thing I'll acknowledge is that once again, Florida gets the goal off power play. And that was a big concern during the earlier stretch of the season where Florida's power play looked like it hadn't improved upon what we saw during the Stanley Cup playoffs and their inability to score on the power play then. However, it really feels like, especially as of late, Florida's power play has only gotten better and better and better to the point where it really feels like game in and game out, regardless of if they win or lose, they will at least get one power play goal, you know? So it's once again refreshing to see. I'm very happy that hopefully we're going to get by the, you know, Panthers have a bad power play allegations that we've had to suffer through for a while now. So, feels good, man. All right, so that was your win over the Senators. Not a whole lot to talk about. A 2-0 win doesn't provide a bunch of storylines, but it does provide, you know, a very solid win, and that's all you can really ask for the Panthers. So let's sort of jump off of that with our CAT scan for this episode. And we've already covered one goalie, Sergei Bobrovsky, but since everyone's on the train ride of Anthony Stolarz, let's quickly talk about what he has done. And I believe it was Anton Lundell post-game, by the way. If it wasn't Lundell, it was someone else. But someone was asked, is Stolarz good enough to be a starter for just about every other team in the NHL? And he absolutely said, yes, he absolutely is. That and it's been being tossed around quite a bit on the socials, but Bobrovsky and Stolarz are probably the best 1-2 goalie tandem in the National Hockey League, which I do believe is the case right now. What Stolarz brings to the table on the off nights for Bobrovsky is absolutely stellar. It's something that we didn't have last year. It was the Bobrovsky show the whole way, but now you feel a bit more confident if something's wrong with Bob, or if maybe he's shelled, or some other reason why he's not performing the way he usually does, then you're going to have a goalie like Stolarz who can still lead your team to the Stanley Cup. And I feel confident in that.
Yeah. So I got a couple stats for you, Jake. The first one is goals saved above expected. Basically, they somehow do the math of how many goals they expect you to make, and then how many goals you've actually allowed. Basically just saying, like, how many times did you have to stand on your head to make a terrific save? How many saves have you made on pucks that should have gone in the net? It's a little hard to calculate the cumulative number just because Stolarz hasn't played as much as other starters. So I'm going to do goals saved above per 60 minutes. So it evens the playing field.
Okay.
Out of all goalies that have played at least 25 games, Anthony Stolarz leads the league in goals saved above expected. He's played 26 games. He also leads the league. Let me find this stat right here. I just had it. He also leads the league in goalies that have played at least 25 games in goals allowed per game. 2.03. He's giving up 2 goals per game. That's the raw number right there. 2.03. He's ahead of Connor Hellebuck. He's ahead of Joey Dackard. He's ahead of Sergei Bobrovsky. He's ahead of Thatcher Demko. He's ahead of both Boston Bruins goalies and Linus Ullmark and Jeremy Swayman. He's ahead of everybody. He's number one. Ahead of everybody. So, yes, I don't know. I'm sure his game will translate to the playoffs. I don't see why it wouldn't. If he had to start a game in the playoffs, I would be completely fine with that. he's doing better in certain numbers than Sergei Bobrovsky is. And Sergei Bobrovsky is going to be a Vezina Trophy finalist.
Yeah. So with that said, Alex, who do you want starting in game one at the net?
I still want Bobrovsky starting just because of his pedigree, because of his experience. You cannot beat pedigree and experience in the playoffs. And then you also can't beat just the idea that Bob seems to just turn on in the playoffs. He's kind of like the goalie version of Matthew Tkachuk, where he's good during the regular season, don't get me wrong, but he just reaches another level during the playoffs. I still go with Bob, but if he needs a break one night or if there's any sort of back-to-back, sometimes you see those back-to-backs in the first round, or if there's an injury of some sort, I really wouldn't mind having Stolarz in there.
Absolutely. And again, Alex Lyon last year, I mean, he got shelled by Boston a couple games. They sent in Bobrovsky and the rest was history. It felt like, I don't know about you, Alex, but there was a sort of looming idea that if Bob were to be injured during that that playoff run, then that was it for the Panthers, because Lyon would not have done his job against teams like Toronto or Carolina. But now you have that reliable backup that takes some stress away from you, because he has the statistics and he has the experience already against some of the best teams in the NHL that he's put up solid performances against, that he can be a reliable goalie if called. And Gus, two awesome goalies is a great problem to have. Absolutely. I don't know what they're going to do this offseason, because I'm sure a lot of teams are going to be knocking on Stolarz's door come this offseason. And I don't know what they're going to do about that. But
at least I think a lot of draft picks are going to come their way.
I wouldn't be mad about that. You know, it'd be nice to build up your team.
Because, hey, down in Charlotte, you still have Spencer Knight.
Right. So is it weird to you, Alex, by the way, that during the national anthem, Panthers fans keep shouting Knight during that?
I think it is genuinely so cool to have a fan base that not only does that, but even when he hasn't played here in a year, that fans still do it. Like, we've come such a long way. Because back in the day, you could maybe capture that for a few games if he's like front and center. But he's been out of sight, but not out of mind, for the last year. And Panther fans still remember to do that every night. No pun intended.
I just caught on to that, Alex. All right, so let's talk a bit about the playoffs, because they're right around the corner. The playoff matchups got shaken up a little bit from what we saw last week. It's still Boston and Tampa and Florida and Toronto. Now the current projections have the Rangers taking on Washington in the first round and Carolina taking on the Islanders. I don't know about you, but seeing a New York versus New York first round matchup would have been pretty lit, but it doesn't look like that could be the case anymore. In the Western Conference, it's Dallas versus Vegas. Western Conference final rematch in the first round. Hopefully this goes the way of Dallas, I'm just going to say. Colorado versus Winnipeg, Vancouver versus Nashville, and then Edmonton versus the LA Kings. I don't even know if it's possible for the first round matchup for the Panthers not to be Toronto at this point. I don't even know what would have to happen for that to not be the case. So let's talk a bit about that matchup between Florida and Toronto and what we expect to see. Obviously, Florida got off to a very good start against Toronto in the second round of the playoffs last year. Was that fueled by those, at this point, classic, we want Florida chance prior to the series starting? I don't know. I love all the merch. I love all the merchandise that they made following that playoff series. I bought a We Want Florida shirt that they sold during, I think, the preseason. I don't know if they still sell them at Pantherland or not, but both teams haven't changed a whole lot, I would say, but it still feels like some different identities have been created for both of these squads, and they both look very dominant. This was not the case like last year where the experts thought it'd be a shoo-in for Toronto. It feels like the playing field is extremely even now, though.
Yeah, definitely. I think that a lot of experts will pick Florida. I don't know if a majority of them will, but I don't think that it's going to be a consensus either. I'm curious, not doubtful, but curious just to see how they'll stop Austin Matthews. Austin Matthews is probably the only guy who's scoring more goals than Sam Reinhart this year. I think last time I checked, Matthews was in the 60s somewhere.
He's at 66 at the
goals. I'm curious to see how the defense locks in now, because that will be, obviously, the first big test for this defense all year. Not just one single game against a team, but, like, can you beat Austin Matthews and the rest of that offense four times in seven tries? I think they will. But it'll be curious to see how they go about doing that.
And it's not just about stopping Matthews, who obviously is really good at sending the puck into the net. It's about stopping the wingmen on that team, such as William Nylander and Mitch Marner, who are absolutely killing it when it comes to assists. They both have 50 each on the season. If you can disrupt their passes to players like Matthews, then that is going to absolutely limit what Toronto can do on offense. And at the same time, it's probably also going to create takeaways for Florida, who are obviously have a really great fast break offense with players like Sam Reinhart, of course, leading the way when it comes to things like that. This is a matchup that I feel a player like Ekblad would really strive in. It would pretty much be one of his big assignments is to stop not just Matthews, but stop the puck from moving around to Matthews. And that is something that Ekblad does very well. So, again, hopefully – it's not official yet, but hopefully he'll be in there for game one, because a lot can change about how this series will look depending on if a player like Ekblad will be there for the Panthers.
Yeah, this entire defense has been great at locking down that slot area and winning those board battles. Most of the time they've gotten in like real trouble is when they lose on the rushes and when they just get into they fall victim to rush attacks from the other team. Toronto, because of their strengths, I think that their strengths actually play right into Florida's strengths. Getting those passes into the slot, which I think, again, the defense has been great at shutting those passes down. That's where I get the confidence that they can stop that first line.
Yeah. Goalie-wise, nothing really blows me away about Toronto's list of goalies, of course, with Ilya Samsonov, who I think is a solid goaltender, but is he anywhere even close to either Bobrovsky or even Stolarz? I don't know. It's going to be an interesting goalie matchup for sure, but Florida has had their way against him in the past. I don't see any reason why they wouldn't have their way against him now.
Yeah. This might come back to bite me, but the one thing that I'm not worried about at all for a matchup with them is the defense and the goaltending of Toronto. I think the scoring for the Panthers will be just fine. It's really about the unstoppable force versus the immovable object of Florida's defense and Toronto's offense. I think there's a lot of holes in the game of their goalie that the Panthers can exploit. Same with the defense. I'm not too concerned.
I'm not concerned either. And something I'm really interested to see how it will go down is Florida starting the series at home, because again, every series that they were part of last year in the playoffs, they had to go on the road for games one and two. And that's something they prided themselves in. They were the road warriors of the NHL, and they still believe they are the road warriors. How will not being on the road until games three? I'm not saying that they always play better on the road, but by God, it really does feel like sometimes they play their best hockey when their backs are against the wall in some of the toughest environments in the NHL, such as in Toronto, which obviously has a crazy fan base, a crazy atmosphere inside of the arena, but they play solid hockey there. And how will
actually flipping the script and hosting games 1 and 2 affect them in any way? I don't think it really will, but I don't know. At the same time, obviously Toronto is going to pack the FLA Live Arena because obviously there are a lot of Toronto fans who will either come down to the game or, you know, live here already.
Yeah, exactly. I think that the Panthers will be fine either way. I think it's definitely, based on everything that Paul Maurice has said and a couple of the players have said post-game, especially these last couple weeks, they just really want to be home. Like, they just really want to have those days off where they're at home and not on the road, or even worse, mm-hmm. traveling. I think they would love the opportunity to start a series at home and not have to worry, especially that first round. That first round, they're going to get several days at home. Like, not home during the games. I mean, like, between the last game of the season and game one of the playoffs, they're going to get several games just at home because they don't have to travel for game one.
Exactly, exactly. So let me take a quick look at the upcoming schedule here. All right, so this could obviously – as a matter of fact, let's actually save it for the next episode of the podcast. I wanted to do a quick series prediction, but I feel like we could learn a lot from Florida's last game of the regular season against Toronto, which is on the Tuesday. So if we record on Wednesday, we can talk about it. And then that'll translate perfectly into how we feel for this matchup. So with that said, let's get into a quick look around the NHL for some of the most exciting games tomorrow, of course, including Florida's home matchup against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Let's start off with two teams. Obviously, Washington has just snuck into the playoffs. Buffalo is on life alert, is on life support right now. A lot of things have to go right for them. They even want to think about getting into a spot in the playoffs. So Buffalo has a great shot here to potentially ruin Washington's chances of sneaking into that final playoff spot. With that said, I feel like Buffalo is going to pull a Buffalo, however, and not rise to the occasion. And with that said, I think I'll take the Capitals with a road win here.
Yeah, I'll take the Capitals as well. They're just so hot lately, and I think the Sabres are the exact opposite. I don't think they know what's going on.
No. They're like this close to getting eliminated, you know? So now this could be, a very fun matchup. Both of these teams are knocking on the door of the playoffs. The Detroit Red Wings and the Pittsburgh Penguins are both really, really close to clinching a play, or not clinching, just a sneak into a wild card spot. So whoever loses this game is going to set themselves back really, really far. This is a desperation game for both of these teams, and desperation games like this produce very entertaining hockey. With that said, I'll go with the home team here. I'll go with Pittsburgh to get the job done.
I'll go with Pittsburgh as well.
Now, this could be the most exciting matchup of the day. It is a potential playoff preview. I don't want to say that yet, but it's Winnipeg and Dallas, two of the most exciting teams in the Western Conference. Of course, Dallas had that amazing run last year that was capped off by the Golden Knights in the first round of the playoffs. And then at the same time, Winnipeg looks to be one of the better teams, not just in the Central Division, but just one of the better teams in the conference overall. This feels like a coin flip matchup. I don't know about you, Alex, but my mind is sort of leaning towards Winnipeg to sort of storm in the season they've had and the hot streak that they're on. Dallas is a great team, of course, but I feel really good about Winnipeg making a deep run in the playoffs overall. So I'll sort of ride that and go with the Jets.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting one because they both play like opposite styles of game. They both win right in different ways. The Jets are at the top of the league in goals allowed in a positive way. Mm-hmm. While the Stars are at the top in goals scored. The Stars are one win away from securing a division title. And I think that motivation and that focus will be what it takes to get them over the hump, because I think these are two very, very equal teams. I don't usually like to talk about like the intangibles as a reason why a team's going to win, but I think that because these teams are so equal and so not similar, but so different from each other, but still so good.
Yeah.
I think that'll be the edge. So I'm going to take the Stars.
And the final matchup is, of course, the Cats taking on the Columbus Blue Jackets, who are the only team currently in the Metropolitan Division to be eliminated from playoff contention. They have a 26-41-12 record. This could be a stinker. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Nothing about Columbus excites me in a way that I feel like they could pull off a massive upset here. They have pretty much nothing to play for, and while I obviously hate the idea of people saying that teams purposely tank, there's pretty much no reason for Columbus to really win this game. I don't know. I don't know. Obviously, I'm going to take the Florida Panthers. If I had to give a score prediction, I'd go like 4-0 or 4-1. I'll be nice and say 4-1. They actually do what Ottawa couldn't and score a goal, but I'll still say 4-1.
That's cocky. Yeah, yeah. It's always gutsy to call for a shutout. I do agree with you, though. If the Panthers lose tomorrow, it means that something bad has happened. It means that something is very wrong in Pantherland. So right. I'm also going to go with the Panthers. If I had to put a score on it, I would say 3-1.
Okay. By the way, we talked about the Arizona Coyotes last episode and how it felt like their deal was done to get a piece of land in northern Phoenix and stay in that state. However, some news broke earlier today that the Coyotes and the NHL are like getting ready to potentially announce the team's relocation to Salt Lake City like on the 18th of April, yeah. Which is
I've never heard of this before. Usually you get like one last season, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
But in the modern day, I didn't think that would happen, that they're being told like, hey, you might play in Salt Lake City next year. That's crazy to me. And what's even weirder is the Coyotes' social media account is like still tweeting like, oh, Phoenix forever, Arizona forever. We're rooted in Arizona.
Committed to keeping the Coyotes hockey in the desert is what they what? Is their most recent post about that. That's actually their pinned tweet. Committed to keeping Coyotes hockey in the desert and building an arena in Phoenix. It's like connected to some emotional video talking about their history in Arizona. And by history in Arizona, I mean like barely any. But listen, obviously Arizona is not going to the playoffs. They're eliminated, so there's no worry about that. Salt Lake City, and by the way, I think Salt Lake City would be a great destination for Phoenix, all things considered. I mean, you have a stadium that's ready to that has more than 5,000 seats and is ready to be used for hockey events. You have a fan base that would be more than happy to accept your team. Granted, it's a bunch of Mormons and dry county rules, so don't expect a lot of drinking, maybe in the same way that Phoenix does. But and by the way, you're still in the West Coast of the United States, so nothing, you know, conference wise needs to change if Phoenix moves to Salt Lake City. Why is the social media account and the ownership of Arizona on two absolutely opposite ends of the spectrum?
Someone's lying here. Like someone is posturing or lying or just like I don't know what's going on. Definitely at bare minimum, these two entities are on two very different pages. Because April 18th is in 8 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. Do they have any home games left?
Let me check real quick. Arizona.
If they don't have any home games left, that means that their tenure in Arizona just ended? Just like that?
Just like that. With them promising that, oh, we're going to stay for the long run. Let's see. No, they close out the season at home against Edmonton on the 17th. They're playing Vancouver on the road right now. They'll then take on Edmonton and Calgary on the road. Then they'll host Edmonton on the 17th. But what a weird situation. And again, I know we're spending a bunch of time talking about the Yotes in a Panthers podcast, but how can you not be so both intrigued and worried about one of the most botched? It's crazy. This is one of the most botched relocations of a sports franchise in recent memory, and this is competing with another botched relocation of a sports franchise over in Oakland, as the Athletics get set to go to Sacramento, become the Sacramento Athletics of Las Vegas. I'm just kidding. I think they're just going to be called like the Athletics or something, and then they'll go to Vegas in a few years. The fact that both these things are happening is very funny, granted for very different reasons as to why they're leaving. I mean, they all boil down to money, obviously, but you get what I mean. Oakland is a, let's say, controversial city, and they're not the first sports team to leave that city. And Phoenix is a city that in which their governor and the fans have almost made it clear that, for the most part, they don't want care about hockey over there. I don't know. It's just, it's funny, it's worrying, and if I was a hockey fan who lived in Arizona, I would be so confused and angry right now, because they keep putting out all these emotional videos that, oh my God, we're staying in the desert forever, you know, and they might secretly be packing their bags, getting ready to find the cheapest housing options in Salt Lake City. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. If I had to bet, I would guess that they are going to stay in Arizona at least next year. I don't know where they're going to actually end up, but there's no way that they are really going to Salt Lake City in 8 days.
Granted, I mean, obviously you have, I'm guessing they're going to be playing in the arena that the Utah Jazz currently play in. I believe Utah has a minor league hockey team somewhere that has great attendance, and that's why the fans are so excited that an NHL team could actually be coming. Obviously, they'd have to rebrand. You can't call yourself the Salt Lake Coyotes. You'd have to call yourself something more related to the city of Utah, which, I mean, I don't know. I've never been. Their basketball team is named after a basketball team that played in New Orleans called the Jazz, which makes way more sense than calling yourselves the Utah Jazz. But I digress. That's not really relevant to this discussion. But the NHL is obviously, they're just coming off of expansion. So there's a lot of cities in both the United States and Canada that would be vying for an NHL team. And it looks like Salt Lake might become the lucky winners in this contest. And Phoenix is just going to be a thing of the past, just like Arizona, just like Atlanta. By the way, there's this very funny Atlanta Thrashers account on Twitter that keeps posting just stuff about Arizona and just stuff about missing the Thrashers. And it's funny because I low-key kind of missed the Thrashers too. They were cool.
Yeah, everyone misses the old teams. They got the same thing for the Montreal Expos in baseball. Yeah. Everyone misses the Expos.
Alrighty then. So on that weird note to end the show, the Florida Panthers are taking on the Blue Jackets tomorrow. Puck drop is at 7 p.m. It can be seen on Bally Sports. After that, they'll take on the Buffalo Sabres on Saturday at 5. Then they get a couple of days off before they host Toronto in the final regular season game at 7:30. That's going to be a nationally televised game on ESPN. And then it's playoff time, baby. And hopefully we'll be there to provide coverage for Lemon City Live. But for now, another great episode, Alex. We'll be back here on Wednesday as we, again, slowly count down to the end of what has been overall a really great regular season for the Panthers as they look to finally hoist the Stanley Cup. But let's see what happens next time, Alex. So everyone have a great rest of the night and watch the game tomorrow. And of course, let's go home, baby.
Send it in.